Good morning. Welcome to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author. I love to help people with their gardens. We also take wonderful garden tours around the country and internationally with Art and Bloom Garden Tours. If you would like to know more about that, you can go to artandbloomgardentours.com. Artandbloomgardentours.com. And also, too, if you'd like to receive the newsletter In Your Backyard, which tells you what to do each month in your garden, in your landscape for the state of Florida, the Southeast, you can, and even, you know, Texas and even, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, you can go to www.she-consulting.com and sign up there, she-consulting.com, or send me an email and with your name and zip code, and then I can sign you up and I will send you Novembers because it's already gone out, but I can send you Novembers and you can take a look at that. In the newsletter, I tell you what to do each month. I give you my plant of the month, give you Teresa's design tips for your landscape. I also do landscape malpractice, how to know when to fire your landscaper. And that's always, sometimes it's sad, sometimes it's funny, but it's really a good point to know what's going on in your landscape. And then also show you beautiful pictures and photographs of what you can do in your yard. So if you'd like to receive the newsletter, you can go to she-consulting.com and sign up there, or you can email me at teresa.watkins@live.com. And just give me your name and your zip code, and then I will send you the newsletter, and that would be great. And so we have a great show today. We're going to be taking your gardening questions. We always love to hear from you and discuss what's going on with you, because, Lizzie, there's no stupid questions.
Absolutely not. If you've listened in the last 5 years, you know that I am dumping out dumb questions all the time, and Teresa answers them. And you know what? It ends up not being a dumb question because you, our listeners, are super awesome, and you end up texting us and go, you know what? I didn't know that either, Lizzie.
That is true. So what can you be doing in your landscape right now for November? The dry season is here. We're going to start getting less and less water, but the temperatures are cooling down. So legally, most of the state is required to go to one time a week watering. And if you really, really want to know, once a week watering is all you need to do. If you are watering more than that, you may be watering too much and causing the issues in your landscape to be overwatered, to have more weeds, have more insect problems, having plants die from too much watering. Sometimes we can love our plants way too much. And watering is not always the best thing. So you can, if you're really wondering if I need to water, stick your finger in the ground, whether it's sandy soils or moist soils or hydric soils right near Lake. Stick your finger in the ground. If the ground is cool, moist, or damp, you do not need to irrigate. So word of the day. Let's do that, Lizzie. Thank you. So I'm going on here. Let's do
now it's time
man.
For the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day has to do with cedar waxwings and other birds. Vexiferous. The term vexiferous was first recorded around 1656 in the writing of Thomas Blount, who was an antiquary and lexicographer. Lizzie, I need some more tea.
Yes.
So it's derived from the Latin word vexifer, meaning bearing berries, and that's berry and fur, meaning to bear, combined with the English suffix us. It is used to describe plants that produce true berries, such as a beauty berry. The first known use of vexiferous was used in a glossary dictionary, one of the oldest that was first written. In everyday English, a berry is any small edible fruit. Berries are usually juicy, round, brightly colored, sweet or sour, and do not have a stone or pit, although many seeds may be present. In botanical language, a berry is a simple fruit having seeds and fleshy pulp produced from the ovary of a single flower. So what kind of examples of plants that produce berries. One is an avocado. So every avocado you eat contains a single large seed, and that is a berry. Bananas are considered a berry. Strawberry tree, not to be confused with strawberries, strawberry tree is a berry. Blueberries, cranberries, lingonberries, coffee berries, and then gooseberry and currants. Eggplants and tomatoes, goji berries, and other species of the family Solanaceae. Elderberries, and then sapodillas, grapes, honeysuckles, persimmons, and pumpkins. Pumpkins, cucumbers, and watermelon, any of the family of the Cucurbitaceae, that is a berry. So cedar waxwings and other berry-loving migratory birds, if you have these trees in your yard, you will be attracting those berry-eating birds.
And it's crazy because that's one of the things that I've been pushing since I started working the show is to try to create an edible type of landscape, for nature. So, yeah. Right. So thank you for that.
Dirty word of the day, berry. There you go. Bexiferous. We're going to be back with your phone calls and your text messages, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. We would love to hear from you. And if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and I wanted to give you some ideas for tabletop decorations or centerpieces or ornamental decorations for your holiday meals in your home from plants that you can take, plants and trees and shrubs in your yard that you can make a floral arrangement from. And so the very first one is magnolia trees. Magnolia trees have beautiful evergreen leaves that have, some of them have the dark brown on the backside, the little gems, and they make beautiful wreaths and arrangements and foliage to attach. You can cut a branch of it off, small, greenish one that's very pliable to make a wreath with. So magnolias have great foliage for wreaths and tabletop decorations. So that's one of them. The Norfolk Island Pine also has a evergreen branch that and foliage needles that look like the holiday needles from conifers, and it's a good choice for wreaths and centerpieces. The Arizona cypress, if you have one in your yard, looks and smells like a blue spruce, and it makes that beautiful blue branch color that you can bring into the home, even to make a door, a floral display from a hanging upside down. You can just, tie them together with a ribbon and hang them from your door. It looks lovely. Hollies, all sorts of great hollies. They're all right now bearing fruit. The foliage and the berries add accent pieces. It's also a smart time to purchase a holly tree because you want to buy the females. The females are the only ones with the berries. And so you can buy a Mary Nell, a Yaupon Weeping Holly, a Dahoon Holly, which is an Ilex cassine, American Holly, which is the Ilex opaca, and most of our native hollies have berries on the female that will remain on the branch through fall and winter. They're a valuable food source, but they also make great indoor locations. Now, when we say that the berries of these holly trees are edible for birds, we don't mean for humans. You cannot consume them. So they're very poisonous for humans. So don't do that. And so even though both sexes of the holly, the male and the females, will bloom, only the female will have berries. And usually there's enough holly trees in your neighborhood that you can plant one. But I would always try and get both, a male and a female, to plant in the yard if you have enough room in your yard. If not, maybe a neighbor will plant the male tree and then you can have the female tree. You can make arrangements that way. Palm seed pods, wonderful, wonderful tabletop decor. pine needles. If you have a pine tree, the pine needles, you can tie those together. They make great accent pieces. Plus, they're fragrant, and so they will be nice on your table. Pine cones also have a great aroma. Children, you can use them for holiday crafts or making Christmas trees or, you know, tying them, wiring them to a wreath for your front door with the magnolia branches. So that would be nice. Spanish moss. You can use the Spanish moss for fillers and around the top of your floral displays. They make great decorations. You want to kind of nuke them. Put them into a microwave or oven and, you know, bake them for 1 minute or 2 minutes in a microwave. Not very long. But in the oven, you want to do for about 10 minutes. And that's going to kill any of the bugs, chiggers on them that you don't want to get, you know, on your tables or affect everybody, get chigger bites.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine?
Can you imagine, yeah.
Having a huge party and then everybody goes away with chiggers.
I know.
It's like, thanks.
You do want to. Now, also, too, if you're having a tree cut down throughout the year, maybe taking one or two of the tree rings that have been sliced, and you can use that for decor for your candles or to put a floral display on. So when you're seeing somebody get a tree cut down, it's nice to go ahead and recycle that tree as, you know, if the smaller pieces or even the larger ones. And even if you seal them, you can use them as a charcuterie board. That would be nice. So make sure you seal them first, though. Then also ferns. Ferns are abundant. They make lovely, lovely floral displays. The cinnamon fern has great flowers, the foliage, and it's nice cinnamon brown right now. They are right now in full bloom, the cinnamon ferns, and they look great. Macho ferns, and then even the selaginella makes a nice addition to a floral display. Selaginella is those club mosses, and you can get them in red or in greens, and even a slight silvery blue. It's nice. Boxwoods make great floral arrangements with the foliage pieces. Abelia is a wonderful, wonderful shrub that has beautiful white and pink flowers on it that you can use as you can use their foliage too as well. Snowbush, this is Brennia. Snowbushes get to be about 6 to 7 feet tall, but their stems, their branches have leaves on them that are pink, white, and green. So you don't necessarily need to have a red and green or a silver Christmas. If you want to do a pink and green and cream colored Christmas or Thanksgiving, the snowbush fronds or leaves are a great choice. And then palm fronds can create great background accent pieces for the home decor. And then also Turk's cap is a great Florida native that has the bright red, looks great in stockings and in floral displays. So that's some choices. Let's go to our text messages. 23680, give your name and your location. That will help me better give you a correct answer. And then 1-888-455-2967. Let's see. Good morning, Teresa and Lizzie. She's in a courtyard villa, no grass, but I'm wondering if one of those lemon trees that you just talked about could thrive in a tub that I purchased it in. I live in a courtyard villa and have no grass, but I do have large bushes that I keep trimmed for privacy. I have one tree in the front yard that I don't know what it is, but it blooms white, fragrant blooms once a year. So it could, that white tree or the white blooms could be anything. It could be a French tree. It could be a magnolia tree. It could be a Hong Kong tulip. There's a number of different trees. It could even be a trumpet tree. There's a lot of different trees with white blooms on them.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it is, but if you send me a picture, I'll let you know because I can tell from the picture. Yes, you can purchase a smaller lemon tree and keep it in a tub, 15-gallon or 30-gallon, and you just keep it trimmed. It will stay in that tub forever, so maybe every year to 2 years, you pull it out of the tub, cut a third of the roots off, put more soil in the tub, and it will continue to stay in that tub forever. Container gardens, citrus trees do really well in container gardens, as what they do in, you know, the monasteries and the courtyards in Spain and Portugal and even France, they grow their citrus in containers, so it's easily done. Great question. I did wonder about the balloons because I asked Lizzie if there was any kind of blooms that looked balloon shaped. So that was funny, and I do appreciate your text message. Thank you for letting us know that. Will a seed from a grocery store lemon ever produce a lemon? The tree is 6 foot tall in a planter. Probably not for about 7 to 10 years. Okay, so most citrus that you buy, nearly all citrus that you buy, has to be grafted to produce quickly. If the citrus comes from a seed, it will take a very long time, and it may not be true to the type of lemon that it's that it came from. Okay, so like if it was a Meyer's lemon, it may just be another hybrid lemon seed that isn't going to taste the same. So we always recommend you get a grafted citrus tree, and that's grafted on a sour rootstock that keeps it, you know, it will allow it to survive winters. That sour rootstock is very hardy and will take temperatures down into the teens. And so the citrus trees are always grafted on sour rootstock. And so the seed won't be true to the parents.
Yes, and also check out our sponsor, Dana Venrick, a quality green specialist in DeLand, because he has an assortment of citrus trees.
Yes, he has wonderful citrus trees. Great, great tip, Lizzie. Thank you. So Linda says, good morning, T. I have two gardenia plants, 1 year old, that within the last 4 to 5 days, about one quarter of their leaves have turned bright yellow. I did not cover them, and we had 20 degrees one night. But the yellow actually started before. So what is a good fertilizer schedule, please? Thank you. So gardenias need to have acidic fertilizer and acidic soil. They like a pH of 4.5 to 5.5, Linda. So I would just say just get on a regular fertilizing schedule of every 3 to 4 months, 3 or 4 times a year. And you can also use the Espoma soil acidifier that will lower the pH too as well. But any acidic fertilizer for azaleas or for all of your acidic plants, your blueberries, will do for a gardenia. So it may, you know, the yellowing may be from, it could be from overwatering, underwatering, which it might be underwatering, but the freeze, I know, probably didn't help it out either as well. So it's been a stressful year for our plants. So check that out. Let me know how you do, Linda. Let's go to Carol in Lakeland. She has a tree question. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. Thank you for being there for us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, so I've always wondered this, and I've never gotten the answer. So let's pretend that I have a tree that I planted, and it's about 6 feet tall. It's just a kind of a little tree, right?
Right.
If I drew with a magic marker, say 2 feet up, would that ever get taller, or does it always grow from the top? The reason I want to know is it has to do with trimming the limbs.
Okay. You know, what kind of tree is it?
Does it grow from the bottom? Does it grow from the top? Does it grow in the middle?
Yes.
All?
All of them. Okay. So okay. What kind of tree is it?
Well, let's pretend I've got a lot of trees, but I had a one of those fringy hibiscus, you know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
The pretty one that hangs down?
Yes.
And so weeping. I got a young one. In fact, I heard you talk about it probably 6 months ago. So I ordered one, I got it in the ground, and now I've even had to trim the top of it. It's probably 10 feet tall and would have been taller if I hadn't been trimming the top. But anyway, and I just want to know, is it going to grow from the bottom? Do I keep trimming the bottom?
So what I'm going to do, Carol, is I'm going to answer your question. Hang on, Carol, through the break, and we'll be right back. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you'd like to answer your garden questions, you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We'd love to talk to you. Right now, we're talking to Carol. She has a really good tree question, and she wants to know how a tree grows. Does it grow from the bottom? Does it grow from the trunk? Does it grow from the top of the tree? Am I right, Carol?
Yes.
Okay. So here's a couple of things. One, it depends on the species, how fast it's going to grow. Okay. Some trees will take slow time, a long time to grow. Others are more moderate. They'll grow a little bit more, 4 to 5 inches or 6 inches a year. And then there's other trees that will grow, a foot to 2 foot to 3 foot a year. So it really depends on the species. But what I want to tell you is that when you plant a tree, let's say it's 6 foot tall, let's say it's 2-inch caliper. Now, the caliper is the dimension, the measurement around the base of a tree, about 2 feet tall. Okay, 2 feet from the ground, about 2 inches all the way around. What a tree, when you plant a plant, shrub, or tree, it does, first of all, is to survive. They need to make sure their roots are established, so they put a lot of effort into growing their roots. Once that is done and the tree feels comfortable, it's going to then start growing upward, but the leaves, it's going to produce leaves, which it needs to grow, it needs to have go through photosynthesis and create chlorophyll. And so then as you're going through, so it's growing and the roots, once the roots get established, then it's going to put more effort into growing the leaves and growing the trunk. But it really depends. So all three of them grow it, all three of them do grow, but it just depends on the species what happens first. Now, a 2-inch caliper tree, if it's a smaller tree, will be the same size as a 4-inch caliper tree, because it doesn't go through as much stress or need as much water or nutrients as the smaller tree. So isn't that amazing? A 2-inch caliper tree will be the same size as a 4-inch caliper tree, the same species, within 5 years.
Wow.
Does that answer your question?
We're getting there. Okay, so go back to my line with the Sharpie marker.
Okay.
Okay.
So
I made the line with a Sharpie marker, and in 6 months, is it going to be taller off of the ground?
No, actually, probably will be smaller, because what's growing is a butt, so it's going to be growing taller, but that line is going to stay on that bark where it is. It's just your bark, your stem or your trunk is going to get wider and taller. So that mark is not going to grow. It's going to be at the base.
Okay. That's what I need to know. So it's not, if I put my mark 2 feet off the ground, in 6 months, that mark is still going to be 2 feet off the ground.
Basically, or even smaller, yeah.
Smaller, that would be weird.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So my fringy hibiscus tree is tall and skinny.
Uh-huh.
So is there some way I can make the trunk start going more of a caliper? Is the caliper getting bigger? Because it's kind of skinny.
It's still kind of skinny. Is it really top heavy?
No. It's kind of straight as a stick. And it's got leaves. It doesn't have a whole lot of limbs on it.
Right. So your hibiscus tree is not necessarily going to get bigger. The caliper is not going to get bigger. It's going to get woodier. And so it's never going to be like, 6 or 7 inches. Okay? Because it's a shrub more than it's a tree.
Yeah.
You've just trained it as a tree.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. So it doesn't have a same kind of trunk as a tree.
Okay. And kind of the same story with Panama Rose. I've got a Panama Rose that I'm trying to train into a tree.
Okay, that would be beautiful.
It's real pretty. And I wrestle with how much to trim it,
Well, you can always trim anything by a third. Okay, so I wouldn't do this to trees. You don't necessarily have to trim trees, but a Panama Rose is, again, more like a shrub. Okay, it's not a tree. And so it's more of an ornamental, I should say. And so what you want to do is make sure that you're fertilizing on a regular basis, that it's getting the nutrients it needs to grow. And then you can cut it by a third anytime without stressing it out too much. But you have to remember, where are you?
Now.
What city are you?
Wait till spring?
Yes, I would wait till spring because you're going to encourage new growth when you trim. You stimulate it and it starts to grow new leaves, and they're not going to be hardened off for the winter time, and they're going to be even more susceptible to freeze if they're new leaves. They're not hardened off.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Does that help?
Oh man, this is the answer to my question.
Okay,
I love that. See, I told you this. No dumb question.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That was a very interesting question. I appreciate you calling in and listening. Thank you, Carol.
Now we had Marianne call. She is from Melbourne. Uh-huh. Now she has seen in the box stores the Norfolk pine.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now is that the same as the Norway?
No.
Okay.
No.
Now
it is not. The Norfolk Island pine comes from Norfolk Island in New Zealand.
Oh.
Okay. So it's not like Norfolk, Virginia.
Got you.
Okay.
Now, how tall does it get?
Oh, it gets huge, 80 feet tall. Okay. So when you're thinking of these little Norfolk Island pines that you want to plant for a Christmas tree, make sure you're planting it in a good location. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because it's going to get big. It'll get to be 60 to 80 feet tall after about 10 to 15 years.
Yes, don't plant them underneath any power lines.
No,
she wants to know what to feed it.
Just a regular fertilizer, 666-888-1010.
Okay. All right. Marianne, thank you so much for calling.
That's great. Thank you.
I love
that. Yeah. So Norfolk Island pines are evergreen. They will get frozen back, okay, because they don't like to have cold temperatures, very freezing cold temperatures, but they're evergreen. They don't have fruit or flowers, so just a regular general fertilizer, two, three times a year will be fine. But it will get big. That'll be something.
It's pretty huge.
Yep. Thank you. We're going to be back with more of your phone calls. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. I've got some gardening questions here, and we have some wonderful text messages. Eric, no, we're not doing that. All right, so we're going to be right back. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I wanted to go over Linda with her question about what to fertilize and their schedule. So, Linda, gardenias bloom throughout the year, but they usually put out a big flush in the springtime and then through, spring and then early summer, and then they do it again in the early fall. So when you're fertilizing, fertilizing while they're blooming is not necessary. You want to fertilize before they bloom. So I would say that starting in February, you can go ahead and start fertilizing with an acidic fertilizer, your gardenias, and then follow the fertilizer label. So if it's every 3 months, slow-release fertilizer is best. Okay, every 3 months or every 6 months, there's a couple of fertilizers that you can do every 6 months that are acidic fertilizers. So I would just follow the timing on the label. So February, and then I would say probably June sometime, if it's a 3 month fertilizer, the end of May, first part of June, and then again in October. And if you get on that schedule, then that's going to be nutrients. That's going to be better for the plant. So just fertilizing them once a year and then let them get them so stressed out that they start to turn yellow and you go, oh, got to fertilize again. Go ahead and you can do it with lower amounts and do it on a regular basis. Okay, so whatever the fertilizer label time frame is, you follow that schedule. All right, so I hope that helps, okay? Great question. You're a great listener. So here we go. Oh, thank you so much. Jimmy in Apopka. My pittosporum is out of control. When can I trim it back? It's over 6 feet tall. I'd like to get it around 4 feet tall. Cut it. You can cut it right now, Jimmy. Go right ahead. That's wonderful. And then Linda, she texted back, good. Would there be 3 or 4 fruit-bearing trees or bushes that each would bear at a different time during the year to give us 3 to 4 different harvest times, not all at once? Yes. So, Linda, if you'll email me, teresa.watkins@live.com, I will send you a season when you can harvest fruits and vegetables, and you'll have the citrus if you want to do that, or fruit trees, and what time of the year. Yeah, go ahead and send me that question, and I can send you a chart. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So as we're going into our dry season, fruit trees do still need to be watered at least once a week. Now, when the temperatures get colder below, when they're averaging about 60 degrees, that means it goes into the 40s at night, maybe 70s during the day, then they only need to be watered, regular trees and shrubs only need to be watered about once every 10 to 14 days. But I would do your citrus trees once a week. Okay, make sure that they're getting a good supply. You don't need to overwater them. They're not, you know, they don't need to have high watering amounts, but they need to be consistent. So let's see. If you have zones in your yard, your lawn should be separate from your garden beds. That is the best way to irrigate, because your lawn is not going to need as much water as your shrubs and your garden beds. So you can turn your lawn onto not even watering when it's cold, and then still keep that once a week going for your garden bed. So if you're retrofitting your irrigation system, which is always good to do if you don't have a correct irrigation system or it's an older system, retrofitting it and getting it more efficient is always better. Then make sure your lawn is on a separate zone from your landscape garden beds. Chinch bugs and caterpillars. With this warm La Nina, we're going to see chinch bugs and caterpillars probably throughout the wintertime, especially down in South Florida. North Florida may not see as much because it's going to get a little bit colder there. But you do need to make sure you are paying attention to the chinch bug issue. Now, why do we get chinch bugs? I will tell you, the main reason we get chinch bugs is over-fertilization of our lawns. So it's always good to get a soil test before you fertilize. Get a soil test once a year from the university, your extension office. Have them send it away to get a soil analysis so that you know what nutrients are in your soil. And then the university will send you back what you should be fertilizing it with. You may not need to be putting down so much nitrogen or nitrogen at all. You may have to put down just potassium. It doesn't need phosphorus. So when you're fertilizing your lawns, or you want to, make sure you do a soil test at least once a year. Always check once a month your irrigation system to make sure you're not watering asphalt or driveways. Lizzie, they do not grow better when they are watered. Asphalt does not grow when it is watered. But you're paying for that water or wasting it. So you want to make sure that you're adjusting it. Check your irrigation system once a month. Turn it on. See where it's going. Because sometimes the lawnmower, you know, hits it and it turns it another direction. Or the, you know, the landscaper moves it around. So you want to make sure that it's going and it's spraying correctly the right zones. If you want to put ryegrass down, if you want to continue to mow your lawn through the wintertime, you can always seed, and seeding right now is fine for ryegrass. You can do that. Palm trees, there's no need to be cutting off palm trees fronds when their leaves are green. It really does stress the plant out, and it makes it more susceptible to disease and insects. Palm fronds should only be cut off when they have turned totally brown. And when you do trim them, trim the brown, you want to do it from a pattern of 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. You want to do that 180 degrees up on the palm tree. You don't want to hurricane prune it or pencil prune it. That's not a good idea and will stress it out even more. That's really, really not good. So if you have crepe myrtles, oak leaf hydrangeas, plumeria, you might be seeing that rust disease on them or powdery mildew. I would not necessarily spray anything on it because the leaves are going to drop. They're deciduous. They're going to drop. They're going to go dormant. And, you know, there's no reason to spray any chemicals on them. Now, next year, if you know that your trees and your shrubs get fungal issues, you want to spray it with a fungal, a preventative fungus control, and that'll keep the disease down. But also, too, you want to be very clean in your yard. You want to pick up all those diseased leaves. I know it's going to be a pain, but pick them up. Don't leave them on the ground, because, or mow them into the ground, because those spores stay in the ground and they return each year. So as clean as you can be in your landscape, pick up the diseased leaves. Don't compost them. Go ahead and throw them away. And that way your yard's going to be healthier. If you're growing roses, the black spot comes from overhead watering or even rainfall that we have. And you want to make sure that you're not spraying the roses on top of the leaves, especially at night. Irrigating at night is never, never a good idea. Okay, we can help the rainfall, but again, with our humidity issues here in Florida year-round, we can see diseases, and that comes from the plants being wet longer than 5 hours. Okay, so you want to make sure you're watering between 5 to 10 a.m. and watering only roots. Leaves do not need to be watered. Overhead spraying of irrigation causes the ligustrum to get disease issues, causes the azalea to get fungal issues. And so leaves never need water. It doesn't hurt them, except when they stay wet longer than 5 hours. And then you're going to start to see disease happening, especially if it's up next to the foundation where you don't have good air circulation. We just got a few more minutes here, Lizzie. So we have a couple more text messages here. Oh, the learning session of the week. Oh, Linda's so nice. Thank you so much. We do love our listeners.
Yes.
And we do appreciate it. If you would like to receive In Your Backyard newsletter, go ahead and you can sign up on my website, she-consulting.com, or you can email me, teresa.watkins@live.com, and give me your name and your zone or your zip code. And I will then send you the November newsletter, and then you'll be in time to get the December newsletter that's coming out. So if you'd like more information about Art and Bloom Garden Tours, I would love for you to travel with me and go visit beautiful gardens here in the United States and also across the sea. We are having wonderful garden tours to the Philadelphia Flower Show. We're doing a revolutionary garden tour to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States. That's going to be a fun trip, too. And then going to Newport, Rhode Island during the flower show, going to visit all the gilded mansions. The Buffalo, New York has the best garden walk. Also a visit to Canada to the Niagara Falls Botanical Gardens over there. And then we're going to France, the Brandywine Valley, and then New Orleans.
Oh, nice. Now, where do they go to get the information so they know the cost and to sign up?
Yes, they do. They can go to artandbloomgardentours.com, and you can sign up for the newsletter there. So let me explain about the newsletters. They're free, but I do not spam. I only send the Art and Bloom ones about every 2 to 3 months. And then the newsletter comes once a month, so it's free. I keep all your email addresses private, and so we'd love to hear from you. So travel with Tony and I. You have a great time. And Lizzie, you got to come one time.
One time, I will come.
There you go. That's wonderful. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed any of the show or you want to go back and catch last few episodes that we've had, go to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.